Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. You can always check out the show on video as well. Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter. We are streaming there. We're always checking the Jay Southland Soul Service text line, 913-586-7965. Coming up in a half hour, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, going to join us. We will certainly get his thoughts on how he would proceed if he were in the Chiefs' shoes and how he would handle it if he was in Patrick Mahomes' shoes in terms of the ankle injury. Plus, the Michael Penix era is underway in Atlanta after that news last night that Kirk Cousins is benched and really is done in Atlanta, and it'll be Michael Penix. So we'll get into that with Ross Tucker. Plus, we'll talk some Royals baseball with J.J. Piccolo, the general manager of the Royals, at 12:30 today. It's been a bit since we checked in with him. Winter meetings are in the rearview mirror. There was a trade in baseball yesterday involving the Yankees and a name in Cody Bellinger that I know some Royals fans thought could be an option here. So we'll get into all of that and how the rest of the offseason could go for the Royals with J.J. Piccolo. But Wednesday good? Company holiday party tonight and everything? Are you guys going? I mean, Drew, are you going to make it out to this thing as well?
I'll be there.
I know you'll be there. You're going to show up. Different location this time, so it'll be fun, man.
I will say I was having a slightly different feeling about a previous incident in discussing this with our boss today. So our boss was talking about the company Christmas party, and I don't think we need to discuss where it's going to be at.
Right.
Although, I don't know, I might post a photo later anyway, so maybe who cares. But so when in discussing it, she was talking about how the company, typically in these situations, provides an open bar situation.
That's right.
And I said, you know, it's a company thing. I'm sure people take care of themselves, to which she says, suggested that not everybody does that. Not everybody falls in line. And then I couldn't help but remember when I was real drunk in front of her in Las Vegas. But in my defense, I wasn't supposed to be with her at that time. Mm-hmm. I had gotten drunk, was supposed to be absent from her public view, and then later ran into her, and I'm like, oh, man. Oh, boy.
That's part of the story. I mean, the other part is earlier in the day, we had like a lunch happy hour thing.
I wasn't as drunk then as I was later. I'm not saying I wasn't drunk. I'm saying it got worse. I'm saying it got worse. I'm not saying it's not zero.
Yeah.
She didn't ask you until the concert if I was drunk. Let's admit that.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. No.
Can we discuss that?
That is very true. No, tonight'll be fun. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm sure anything that happens, don't worry, it'll be reported back on the show. You guys can count on that. If something happens at the party tonight, we will definitely discuss it tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not gonna get drunk at it. I can promise you that. This I swear. You know, Specs out of town.
Oh, so you're not getting drunk?
He can't send the mandatory email that is, please do not get drunk at the company.
He still
bar.
Might send it today.
Which seemed to have been coming less since Nick Schwartz left this station, so that's of note. I don't think he's sending them for every party anymore, only occasional. You know? Only in the ones he's worried about.
He figured we're smart enough to know how to handle ourselves at this point in time.
You'd think so.
Are you suggesting that you think there's somebody at this station that you're questioning whether they can handle themselves tonight? Who would that be?
Well, here's the only thing I would say is Drew's a lightweight. So if Drew, so if Drew dips into second drink,
I know Mac likes to get after a little bit at a Chiefs game. But that's about it. I don't know about Drew.
What makes you say that I'm a lightweight? Hang on a second. I have not been in a setting where I've been off my ass after two drinks.
I've never even seen you have a third drink.
I've seen you feel pretty good after two. Because I know how to control I know where if I have that third drink or that fourth drink, it might be a problem. Let me get my two and I'm going to have
now
my
in
two.
Fairness,
this is going to make me sound like an alcoholic, but let me be very clear. Mac, is there any risk of you being drunk for a third drink? A third drink?
Because
that's not the risk line. No, that's lightweight.
Hold on.
Risk line is not two drinks.
That's because you guys drink water. You guys drink beer. You guys drink.
Oh, I drink. Oh,
you guys drink
I'm
acquired. You drink acquired taste things. I will have two drinks. I'll have like a cranberry vodka Sprite that's got like a heavy dose of vodka, and I'll have my two drinks. I'm having more alcohol than you're having technically, but my two drinks.
I don't think so. All right, Drew and I
drink responsibly.
That's all I'm saying. I'm defending myself. All right.
Is your wife coming tonight to the party?
She is. She is going to be there.
Is she driving?
No, I'm driving.
See, then he can only have
two anyway. I know how to
control myself.
That's good. That's
Cody's out here acting like Drew needs to have five drinks tonight.
I did not. I was just saying if he did, he'd be hammered.
So you're saying, is that all of a sudden turning into the goal of, hey, Bree, you're driving Drew home tonight because we're going to get Drew drunk tonight. That's what it's going to turn into.
It sounds like that's what Cody wants.
That definitely sounds like it. As time goes on. Yeah, we'll see.
Oh, my gosh,
I don't have to, I can't make promises for people or anything. If that happens, we'll definitely discuss it tomorrow.
Shot. No, we're not
Someone says
that.
No. Oh, wow. People are just taking
Why not
shots.
Over on Twitch said, sounds like you're challenging Drew to a drinking competition.
Yeah, well, I know who's going to win that one. That's the only thing.
If we're drinking beer, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So there's no way Seltzer Boy is defaming beer, is what they said.
Damn. We're off to a hell of a start. Drew's getting shots immediately.
Hold on, Cody.
Seltzer Boy's funny, though.
Cody, you know I'm a lot like you in terms of competitiveness.
Yeah. I don't drink contest.
Do you want to do this?
That's a wild thing to do at a company Christmas party.
Do you want to do this?
How am I getting home? My wife can't come tonight, so like all of a sudden I'm
take
like...
Take an Uber. Just take an Uber to the party instead.
Just take an Uber?
Mm-hmm. Uber there and back. Be done with it. Then you can do whatever you want.
It has to be something that's
not like what we usually drink. Like I'm not having a cider or a Mike's. You cannot have an acquired taste. We need to have something else.
Like just tequila? It's just a tequila drinking contest?
Let's go. Let's go.
I'm told they will not do shots at the party tonight, so we're going to have to...
Yeah, shots are not allowed. That was already mentioned.
Anyways.
All right. Somebody's
offering to pay for my Uber just to make sure that I go there without driving.
We will get back to this now, I'm sure, considering the way this already started. We will, I'm sure, address the party not only tomorrow, but maybe later on in the show as well. But let's talk some Chiefs football to get us started, though, on a Wednesday. And throughout this season, we've all discussed, like, okay, what can improve? What can't improve? Is it offense? Is it defense? Where is our faith at in the team? And because of the last 3 weeks of how the offense has looked, 19 points, 19 points, 21 points, but then the defense only given up fewer than 20, in fact, seven, as we know, on Sunday. Are we back to where we're like, you know what?
Actually, this is a defensive team.
I mean, isn't it? Aren't we right back to that? That if they're going to win, it's going to still be about the defense, not the offense? Because I'll be honest, a month ago I thought, all right, maybe the offense actually has a better chance of improving. But the defense has improved. Like, I've already seen them improve in 3 weeks. The offense has not.
Notably, again, I do not think we We probably somehow undersold, even though we made a pretty big deal about it as a show. We have undersold the contribution from Charles Omenihu. I mean, night and day difference, defensive line-wise, between when they had him and when they didn't, and what they have now in him.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. About a month ago, I think it was you and I the same thing. Right after maybe they'd probably given up that 30 to the Bills. I was like, look, if they're going to win, they're going to be better on offense than better on defense. They don't need to be significantly better. It'll be driven a little bit by both, but this will be a team in need of offense. And then over the last 4 weeks, Patrick Mahomes has probably had the worst single month of his career statistically, or close, not really, because he was worse earlier in the year, but he's inaccurate. The offense has been bad. They've only scored, for as much as you just talk about the defense, in their last three games, they've only scored 19, 19, and 21 against the Raiders, the Chargers, and the Browns. And the Chargers were the top scoring defense in the league at that time, but the other two weren't. Like, it does start to feel away. But I'll be honest, now that I've seen the defense play, and I've watched the offense continue to struggle in the exact same ways, and I don't think there's some savior coming at left tackle. Yeah, I'm back to defense wins championships. Go defense. Like I'm not saying in a crunch moment, this is the best part. In a crunch moment, with 3 minutes to go and 70 yards to drive, with Mahomes' hand, well, then it's all hands on deck. Mahomes will get the job done. He has consistently gotten his team down the field to score in those spots, and I think he will. But as far as what will be the better unit if they win the Super Bowl, that's defense again. I'm back. Like, I shifted briefly, but I'm back.
I'm with you, but what you said is crucial there too, though. We know last year when this was a team that was carried by the defense in large part, even in the postseason, yeah, the offense played better. It was still about the defense. It requires, even if we think this defense is heading in the right direction, I think they absolutely are. They're forcing some turnovers against Cleveland. Maybe that gets them going with that because they were bottom three in takeaways. They get six of them in the game, including the special teams turnover. Maybe that gets them. Maybe McDuffie gets his first career pick, so now we're going to start seeing them get more. I don't know. That's all stuff that could happen. But ultimately, it'll still be, can the offense join the party, right? Can the offense in the playoffs, a divisional round game, an AFC title game, can the offense get close enough? I mean, it's not like they beat the Ravens in the postseason, the AFC title game, by scoring 30 points.
But there was a dramatic difference between offense and defense last year. It's like the defense was number one and the offense was like 12th.
Right. And this year, points per game, defense is up to what? Fourth.
Tied for fourth.
After the 7 points they gave up. But offense is where?
12th.
12th. So there, it's not terribly far off, actually, from where it was a year ago.
It was like 7th and 7th a month ago. It was like they were in a dead heat, and when you and I were looking at it, we're like, well, they got a ton of injuries on defense, and I'll be honest with you, I'm going to take the odds and chances that Patrick Mahomes in the offense and the guys who might be returning like Pacheco or Hollywood down the road will solve it.
No, I mean, I think if you look at the last three games in particular, I put a lot of stock in what the defense has done. I also put a lot of stock in what the offense hasn't done in those 3 weeks. Both can be true. Your defense has been improving. Your offense, though, has been basically stagnant and the same. And the question about the left tackle is the same question that we have. I would still like to see DJ Humphreys get another opportunity. It sounds like that's not going to happen on Saturday based on him not practicing yesterday. We'll see today another light practice expected. We'll find that out later on in the show. The practice availability, as we know, Patrick Mahomes did practice in full. So I don't know if DJ Humphreys is available Christmas Day against Pittsburgh. I want to see him get one more crack at it to have a definitive answer on the left tackle spot and what it's going to be. Once we have that, like, and doesn't mean it's a positive answer, but once we have that answer on if DJ Humphreys is capable of being that guy or not, then maybe the view changes. What does it look like with Hollywood Brown? Maybe the view changes. But as it currently sits, this is a team that's going to be carried by the defense if they're going to go on a run, it looks like.
It does feel that way again. And this time I would just hope for the offense to be a little bit closer. And in the playoffs, it was a lot closer. In the playoffs, it's not that the defense didn't perform well. They did. But the offense way picked up its end. Let's just say of the, 14 teams in the NFL playoffs last year, the Chiefs were probably the second or third best offense for the entire run. No matter how many games they played, whether it be one or four or three, they're probably the second best offense in the entire postseason run last year, and they were the number one defense in the entire postseason run last year. So the gap closed once the playoffs started, which I think will happen with the Chiefs. But again, Mahomes is going through a stretch I haven't seen before. The turnover stopped, but he still looks so off. The whole offense looks off. And I think it could be boiled down to, if you have no time, we talk about this all the time, if you have no time at left tackle, do you think it's an accident that Caleb Williams looks bad and their offensive line is bad, or C.J. Stroud is having a way worse year and his offensive line is no good? Or hell, the graph I've pointed out to you a couple of times of Matthew Stafford's performance by season based on the level of protection he gets, and the same for Jared Goff. Mahomes is not immune to it. It is catching up with him how bad the offensive line is. So I, to your point, the only thing that would change this conversation for me is if DJ Humphreys comes in there and starts giving you top 20 left tackle play, because then maybe you wouldn't be feeling that heat. But also, are all the bad habits so ingrained at this point that reversing it at this stage of the season based on the way the tackle play's been may be irreversible?
And that's where the bye week maybe comes into play. And that's not necessarily talking about sitting him the rest of the regular season. I'm referencing whether the bye is week 18 or the bye is wild card weekend, hopefully, because they have a number one seed. What does that do? Is there like a mental reset that actually can accomplish something? I don't know. But that's one thing, if you're asking, like, how does it get fixed for what you just described? I don't know. Maybe eventually, if he does get the wild card weekend off and they're sitting in the number one seed and everybody takes a deep breath, maybe that's good for him. Not even talking about the ankle, just truly from a mental side. I don't know if that's what it is. I mean, sometimes we make too much out, to be the mental side of it for some of the decision making and yips and things like that. I have no idea. I think ultimately it is that it goes back to the lack of trust from the offensive line. And then, yeah, that has impacted his decision making, because there's not a lot of trust there, and hard to blame him still, because we just saw ultimately one of those hits just now cost him an ankle injury. Looks like it's not going to cost him the game on Saturday, the way things are trending. It looks like he's going to be available to play after being a full participant, but it's definitely part of the equation. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. And that's the problem. I can't ignore the fact that, you know, it's been going like this, considering it.
Did what happened on Sunday against Cleveland, though, cause Andy Reid maybe to step back himself and recognize that, you know what, I kind of screwed this whole thing up? And we've acknowledged that this game against Cleveland, while they won, and ultimately that's what matters, play calling, some of the challenges, all of it was not the sharpest game from Andy Reid. I think that's very fair to say for a guy that's going to be a future Hall of Famer. It wasn't. And if we all agree that it was a bad game from the coaching staff offensively, that includes Andy Reid as well as Matt Nagy and everybody involved on the offensive game plan, because your quarterback got hurt, sometimes it sounds stupid, like you shouldn't wait till someone gets hurt, but sometimes once the injury happens to your quarterback, does that actually cause you to figure out ways to protect him more, as in run the ball more, as in,
I mean, he stopped running a quarterback sneak 5 years ago because of it.
Getting the ball out quicker in terms of with your play calling and how you go about that. The injury might actually cause them to step back and say, okay, whoa, we caught another break here. He's got an ankle injury, but he's not out for the season. Thank goodness. Is there belief in your mind? I think there is a chance that because the injury happened, it might actually cause Andy and the coaching staff to adjust truly how they go about their business.
Andy's a good enough coach, I just assume it will. We talked about the QB sneak stuff a million times on this show, but he got hurt one time and they stopped doing it. And Patrick Mahomes has had ankle injuries before, but in less controlled environments. He stepped back. Now, here's part of the problem. Might also mean he does less fourth downs, especially in like tight situations in which there's an argument not to go for it. I didn't want him to go for that fourth and three. But yes, I think Andy Reid has to look at that game. He's going to look at that game and be like, what the hell was I doing here? We have no offensive line play. I'm starting a guard at tackle and a backup guard at guard. And I'm having Patrick Mahomes step back to throw 40-plus times in a game in which we led by 3 touchdowns 70% of the game and had a 2-touchdown lead for the entire fourth quarter, and I still had him fading back to throw. I understand that part of this is very simple. The Chiefs is an advantage-based offense right now, which means probably when Patrick Mahomes steps up to the line, they're daring you to pass. They're saying, go ahead. Go nuts. In that case, sometimes, sorry, the clock is a bigger friend of yours. And Andy has made that mistake before. Like, you go back to that Colts playoff game forever ago. Like, and you
isn't
did the
that
math.
Isn't that part of the problem, though? Because even though I would like to think the injury is going to cause a shift, but you're referencing games from many, many years ago, as in this is something that he can't help himself.
Clock management, so, which is essentially what this conversation is, goes back to that. But in fairness, because of the injury, I feel like it's a little different. Nobody was hurt in that game, right? Just a normal situation. He got Mahomes hurt. He did. Andy Reid got him hurt. Yeah, sure. Somebody could have blocked better or whatever, but he didn't even have to put him in that position. It was a 4th-and-3 in which they didn't have to go for it. They certainly could have run or ran a quick pass or a million other things that keeps Mahomes off his ass. Gold, we keep a running list all the time in the middle of these rundowns. And in the second quarter, early third quarter of that game, we're already in there being like, he's going to get hurt. Like, at some point, he's going to get hurt if you just keep running it like this, where he's got to step back and take 7-step drops 40 times in a game. And then immediately, of course, the ankle injury gets rolled up on. I do think Andy will learn a lesson because I think he knows about keeping his quarterback healthy. And he knows that if he can just keep him healthy for 1 to 2 more games and get wins, then he can give him all the time in the world he needs to rest, and he'll probably go back to his old ways. Can you keep him healthy for the rest of the regular season, including this game? I think so. I think his game plan will be more run heavy against the Texans.
We'll see.
Than it has been in weeks.
We'll see. I hope it's definitely, I do agree with one text. Someone says, guys, we've been griping about this very thing for 12 years. There's absolutely truth to that. Absolutely true.
And also 3 Super Bowl titles, so I'm not saying Andy's never made an adjustment.
Yeah, I do think, though, when your quarterback gets hurt, it does cause you to think differently. I really believe that. Other than like the general issue that people have brought up throughout the coaching career of clock management or whatever, I do think when your QB is hurt or you just, quote unquote, got him hurt, that it causes you, at least for a game. I'm not saying that like for the rest of time, he's now going to adjust. For one game, though, I could see maybe an adjustment, and we'll find out on Saturday. We'll talk to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, about that very thing coming up in 10 minutes. But the big news in the NFL last night was that the Atlanta Falcons pulling the plug on Kirk Cousins. It is the Michael Penix era now in Atlanta. They are still alive for a playoff spot. They're still alive in that division, as a matter of fact. They won their game against the Raiders on Monday Night Football, but it was ugly. It was a pathetic game. Kirk Cousins only completed 11 passes. They were not willing to let him throw the ball except on like 4 or 5 straight third downs. They were able to run the ball. That's why they won the game. And the Raiders also are a bad football team. But when you get to a point where your play calling is so bad because you don't trust your quarterback, that's all you need to know. And I'll give them slight credit for pulling the plug on Kirk Cousins. It would have been very easy, considering all the noise about their draft pick and Michael Penix, to say, no, we're going to prove you guys wrong. We're sticking with our guy. They got criticized at the time, and they still are.
I think rightfully so.
Rightfully so, for drafting Michael Penix in the top 10 after signing Kirk Cousins to a massive deal. They got destroyed for it, as they should. You can still, I think, acknowledge today, though, that there's a slight bit of props I'll give them for willing to make the switch. Now, the switch wouldn't have been necessary if they made the correct decision earlier, but a lot of teams would have said, we're sticking with the veteran the entire year.
Sure.
Screw it. I give them a little bit of credit for going to Michael Penix here. The problem for them is now you've already decided for next year, like it's the Michael Penix era. Like, so Kirk Cousins is done in Atlanta Falcons uniform one way or the other. And financially, you can't just cut him. $60 million dead cap hit.
Gonna have to. Here's the truth. They're gonna have to cut Kirk Cousins. He's not going to turn into a backup, so that's already out. They could trade him and only suffer a, $30 million cap hit, but he has a no-trade clause, so he can essentially do the exact same thing Derek Carr did to the Raiders, which is, why would I let you choose the place I'm going to go for less money? Pay me all my money, and I will go find any team who will sign me, and I can just Russell Wilson this thing. I can go take bare minimum with a team to go win and succeed around somebody else. I don't owe you any favors. Here's the problem with Penix is that all the reporting yesterday is like, oh, but they love Penix. I'm like, they also loved Kirk Cousins.
Of course.
I don't trust their judgment right now. Their judgment is poor. They decided to pay a quarterback a ton of money only to get rid of him after 10 games. And now I'm supposed to believe they're the quarterback whisperers in the draft? I don't think so. There were a lot of available free agent quarterbacks this year who have performed admirably. Look at what Sam Darnold and others have done. They chose the wrong free agent quarterback, way overpaid for him, and are now shifting. Now, I will, again, give you credit because I'm a big believer, or give them credit, because I am a big believer in don't get stuck in the sunk cost fallacy, which they're not doing. Their cost is sunk. They're going to have to pay Kirk Cousins a lot of money to go away. But at least they're not just sticking with it, even though it's hideous in the middle of a playoff.
And they're trying to save their season, and I think they recognize if they're going to go on a run here, and they have to get in the playoffs, Michael Penix gives them a better chance to win. And that's the question you have to ask yourself, and they did, and they gave themselves the honest answer. And the answer is not Kirk Cousins. And look, I've been a pretty staunch Kirk Cousins defender. throughout his career, certainly the last 2 years in particular. He's not the same quarterback. He's just not. And I don't know if that's, hey, he needs another year Achilles or this is who he is now. I don't know. We'll find out next year.
Injury.
Yeah. And for his sake, I hope it's just, hey, he needs more time. And he never, you know, some players were able to come back from an Achilles quicker and some weren't. And they rushed it.
And he's 38. And he's 38 years old. A little longer.
Now, if Kirk Cousins gets cut in March, the Falcons will have paid him $90 million to play in 14 football games.
They certainly didn't get their ROI.
I'm excited to see Michael Penix, though, aren't you?
He's dealt with a lot of adversity to get here. He's grateful to be Washington's quarterback, and they know that every time he takes the field, he's going to bring that big penis energy. He's going to bring that big penis energy. He's going to bring that big penis energy.
That's right, Desmond Howard. Cringe, man. That's right, Desmond Howard. That's what the Falcons have now, big Penix energy.
You sure you don't want to say it like this?
No.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. You're pretty sure? Kirk Cousins' landing spots. We were kind of going through those before the show. Titans, Jets.
Steelers?
Steelers, but wouldn't they just give the money to Russ instead?
You know what? Like, you know that works. So you probably would just keep Russ, I think.
Like, somebody, like Scoob over there on Twitch said the Raiders, but, like, they're going to be picking one or two. They're just going to take Shadur or – there's two quarterbacks, essentially, that are worthy
Tennessee
of taking.
Definitely makes sense.
Here's the top ten.
The schedule for the Falcons, so where the Falcons are, they play host to the Giants, good defense but terrible football team, nice opening game for Michael Penix. At the Commanders, going to be a really tough game because the Commanders are battling for a playoff spot, and they wrap up the season at home against the Carolina Panthers, I'm sorry. So a winnable game.
They definitely still could
They're
be in the
currently
playoffs.
7-7. They are a game behind the Bucks. They also own the tiebreaker, though, over the Bucks. I know everybody just assumes the Bucks are winning that division. Here's what Tampa has: the Cowboys, the Panthers, and the Saints.
That's a pretty winnable stretch.
I would argue both teams have winnable stretches. It is not over yet for the Falcons with Michael Penix gives them a chance. But let's not act like Michael Penix is just going to jump right in. I don't think.
That'd
do you?
Be very impressive.
That would be really, really impressive. I'm excited to see him play, though, because everybody has been talking about him since draft day. Like, man, this guy's going to sit for 2 years now and
the
all
NFL
this.
The NFL knows something. They flexed before Penix even got switched to quarterback.
Yeah, well,
they got now, look, the other game they had was garbage. So this one is definitely better than that one. More so now that Penix is going to be the starter for them. Look, of course I'm interested. It's a top 10 NFL draft pick. Anytime those guys get into the league, I want to know how high their level of play can go. J.J. McCarthy will interest me next year, or when you see Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels. He's in that same vision of, like, this is a high drafted quarterback. Let's see what he's got.
Are you guys going to freak out as much as you did get with Bo Nix? Because Penix is 24. He is the same age. He is the exact same age as Bo Nix.
Didn't realize. It just feels younger.
They're like 2 months apart or 3 months apart, I think.
Well, then he should have success quick because he's experienced, just like Bo Nix.
This goes back to the same thing.
He also has two ACL injuries or whatever he's got. He's been beaten up.
This is my whole problem with how badly Atlanta screwed this up. We said this at the draft time. His age was brought up at draft time, Drew, because he's 24 years old. And what was your plan? Sit him behind Kirk for 3 years?
No, exactly.
That's a stupid plan for an older quarterback. If he's 20, let's have a conversation. But if he's 24
he's not Anthony
already,
Richardson.
What was your plan originally? To get him in the league when he was 26? That's what Atlanta's dream was. Atlanta's dream is that Michael Penix started quarterback at 26 years old after they'd paid for 2 years of Kirk Cousins.
By the way, there's
actually better for them.
Real quick, there's offshore odds out there for which team will Kirk Cousins start for next year, week one, if it's not the Falcons, which it's not going to be. Titans, 4-1. Seattle has the next best odds, then Cleveland, New Orleans, and the Giants. Those are the teams in the top five odds to land Kirk Cousins. Up next, we'll talk more about Michael Penix. We'll also get Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider's perspective on the Mahomes ankle injury and how he would play this whole thing out over the next couple.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
If you've ever wondered about the dark psychology behind history's most notorious murderers, Mind of a Serial Killer is the podcast for you. Find Mind of a Serial Killer on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
4 days. Just getting started on a Wednesday here. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll talk more about the latest from Mahomes' practice report yesterday. Another light practice expected today, but all signs continue to point towards him playing on Saturday. And to talk more about that and how the Chiefs perhaps should handle a game on Saturday and then flipping over to Christmas and a game on Wednesday against Pittsburgh, let's talk with our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, where insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Ross, appreciate it as always, man. I'll ask you, as a player, I'm sure it's awfully tough to get anybody not to play in a football game if you ask them, can you play? In this case, it's your quarterback. He's had these ankle injuries before. He's never missed a game due to an ankle injury. How would you handle this? How do you think the coaching staff is handling this week?
You know, one thing I think is really interesting about it, I actually spoke this morning with John Ritchie, you know, the former Raiders and Eagles fullback. I never heard this before, but he said, it's actually easier to come back from and you're faster to come back from after you have multiple.
Interesting.
I don't know how that makes any sense whatsoever. Yeah. I have not heard that before, but I guess he's had multiple, and that's his experience, which I think is fascinating. I don't know. The guy's Gumby, man. I mean, I feel like this happens every year. I'm sure you guys know. You're Kansas City radio. How many years in a row now has he gotten a high ankle sprain, and we're all like, oh, no, I don't know what's going to happen, and then he comes back and is able to play?
This is his sixth time coming back from an ankle injury before a game. The previous five times he did not miss a game. So it didn't matter. Like, sometimes they were in the playoffs and they were severe injuries, or like he was limping significantly, but this will be the sixth time. If he plays on Saturday, he'll be 6-for-6 for getting a high ankle sprain and playing the same week.
Yeah, that is obviously just absurd. I can't believe that that's the case. But that's him. I mean, he has an unbelievable ability to bounce back from those things. I do think if you're Andy Reid and, you know, the organization, I think you have to consider sometimes protecting him from himself. I know for me, I would love to see Wentz play as like a science experiment, right? You know, being a Philly guy, I'd love to see what Wentz could do for Andy Reid. You know, the thing that's weirdest to me about that, and I know you guys said they had a light workout or whatever.
Yeah.
But the strangest thing to me about that is the fully participating part of it. You know, like, even if you're telling me he's going to play in the game, which I can see, okay, fine. To fully participate in practice? I mean, guys have, like, nothing going on, and they're limited participants, you know?
I think,
like, the fully participant thing almost made me skeptical.
In a weird way, what I think, in a weird way, the reason why it doesn't for me, Ross, is Andy Reid, there's lots of things. I think 95% of his coaching career, he's been really great at adapting. But there's a couple things he's a no budge thing on. And one of them is, you want to play? You better practice. And I think with quarterback, it's like you better all the way practice. You don't get a half ass out here at quarterback and then start on Saturday. I feel like that's just been his stance as a coach.
Well, and I kind of like hearing that. A lot of guys aren't that way. You know, I think that stems from his experience being able to get so many backup quarterbacks ready to play at a high level, thinking, hey, if I get a full work week and I get to show these guys, you know, exactly what this team's going to do and get them prepared, that I think I can have them play at a high level. Because I think it's like there's obviously a lot of value in being able to practice and get those reps. The question is, like, if you're talking about Patrick Mahomes, who's been your quarterback for all these years now, would you rather have him be at 90% with only getting a couple reps in walkthrough on Friday, or 75% with getting the reps all week?
Sure.
You know, and maybe Andy doesn't look at it, but that's how I look at it. And most coaches, they prefer the guy with being as healthy as possible. Andy, I think to some extent you guys are right. It's very, very important to him that the guys practice.
The reason why this is all so much more complicated, too, is because we know they're in the middle of this 3-game and 11-day stretch, and they're playing on Saturday against Houston, and then they got to turn around and go to Pittsburgh on Christmas Day. They have the early bye week. That's been a huge topic of conversation here, both from those in the media, and also Chris Jones acknowledged how that early bye week is something that if teams are going to have to play 3-10 around Christmas, this late in the year and stuff, that then they should have to have a later bye week. But because of that, do you think the number one seed, knowing the injury that Mahomes has right now, like the number one seed, do you think Kansas City has to win on Saturday, in your opinion? Because they got to win 2 of the next 3 if Buffalo wins out.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're the Chiefs, for a million different reasons, the number one seed is critically important. And I also think it's really interesting, they don't really have any gimme games left. You know, I mean, you play the Texans, then you're playing at Pittsburgh, which, by the way, I'll be there calling that one for Westwood One Radio.
Nice.
And then you're playing at Denver. You know, now Denver might have already clinched playoff berth by then, and they probably will, but I don't think that will affect how Sean Payton plays in that game at all. I think Sean Payton, he wants the best record possible. He wants to go into the playoffs with momentum. He wants to beat the Chiefs, all those things. So none of these games are gimmies. So I think what you really want to do, obviously, is try to clinch it as soon as possible so that you can rest as much as possible. I think getting that first week off is gigantic for both mentally and physically. And then, you know, you'd much rather be at Arrowhead than have to go to Buffalo or somewhere else for the AFC Championship game. I know they did it last year at Buffalo, at Baltimore. It's super impressive. Everything they do is super impressive. But you don't want to be in life. You don't want to be increasing your degree of difficulty, right? Just because you can do something, you know, just because you can do the quadruple Lindy off the diving board doesn't mean that's the dive you should do every time.
When you look at what Buffalo is, are you worried? So, like, every team's got a fatal flaw. I think that's just kind of the nature of the NFL 90% of every year. Every once in a while, there's some team that has it all. Bills defense, how worried are you of that for them? Because over the last 2 weeks, they're 1-1, but they've given up like 85 points.
Yeah, definitely concerned, and they should be. It has not been good on that side of the ball. You know, part of me wonders a little bit against Detroit because the offense was so unstoppable and has been, and they had a double-digit lead a lot in that game. So I think part of me wonders a little bit how much of that was like, hey, let's play a little bit softer. Let's not give up anything cheap and deep. You know, we don't want to, you know, we're up 2 scores and they kind of were yielding yards as slowly as possible. But it is a concern Now, their safeties were hurt. Milano got hurt during the game. But how can you not be concerned when you just gave up 40 points 2 weeks in a row? I mean, that's, you know, when you watch the Super Bowl video after the season for the team that won it, they usually don't talk about the back-to-back weeks late in the season where they gave up over 40 points 2 weeks in a row. Right?
Like I honestly don't think the Chiefs have given up 40 points in like 3 years.
Exactly. That's exactly correct.
Ross, like when you look at the rest of the AFC wildcard teams, I am curious on that end. Which of the wildcard teams do you take the most serious? We know Chiefs and Bills are 1-2. Let's take out the other division winners right now at the moment, you know, or at least the Texans out of this. What are the wildcard teams that you're like, yeah, that's the one that really scares me in the AFC?
Yeah, I think it's whoever doesn't win it out of win the AFC North out of Baltimore and Pittsburgh, you know, because. Do I think the Broncos and Chargers could give you a good game or give anybody a good game? Yeah, but it's a lot different in the NFC. I mean, the NFC, your first two wild cards are probably going to be the Vikings and the Packers. Those are legit teams I could see in the Super Bowl. The only wild card team I could see in the Super Bowl would be the Baltimore Ravens. Even if the Pittsburgh Steelers are a wild card, I could see them winning a game, you know, maybe two, but they're not good enough to go on the road three straight weeks and beat really good teams. I don't see that happening. I do think Baltimore could pull it off. The way Lamar Jackson's playing this year, their belief, their pedigree, they could pull it off. I'm not saying they're gonna, but they're by far the most dangerous wild card team.
We're talking to our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Lastly, I want to get your perspective on Michael Penix era beginning in Atlanta, that news last night. I understand the criticism, of course, around the draft pick selection to begin with, since they had signed Kirk Cousins, and I know everybody was calling them idiots at the time of drafting. But now I think they deserve a slight bit of credit that they're willing to pull the plug on Kirk Cousins. A lot of teams, I feel like, would have just held through this whole thing and kind of said, hey, no, we paid this guy this kind of money. We've got to keep playing Kirk Cousins.
Yep. So let's start with signing Kirk Cousins. Loved that decision. They had the worst quarterback play in the NFL the last 2 years. Arthur Smith would still be their head coach if he had had Kirk Cousins the last 2 years. That made perfect sense. Had no qualms with that whatsoever. You know, I know he's coming off the Achilles. What I don't understand about Cousins right now is how he's gotten worse during the season. You know, I get it. He's in the new offense. I get it coming off the injury. But he was playing pretty well. Like they were winning shootouts when they were 6-3. I don't know what happened that he dropped off like this. That's the weird part of it to me that I don't really understand. So that's a sunk cost, though. And I'm a big fan of when teams realize that something or someone is a sunk cost and that you're paying them the money regardless. And that trotting him out there and continuing to play him because, quote unquote, we gave him all that money, that's compounding your mistake. That's compounding your error. Penix almost can't possibly be worse than what we've seen from Cousins the last couple weeks. He's really been that bad. I mean, it's been really, really bad. And so they can't do the play action stuff, the boot stuff. I think this is the right decision at the right time. It's unfortunate that the Cousins thing didn't work out, but it is what it is. And, you know, I hated the decision to draft Penix Jr. because I felt like getting a defensive player at 8 could have been the difference between playoffs or not. But now doubling down at the quarterback position looks very, very smart.
Last quick question for you, Ross, and then we'll let you get out of here. We have the company Christmas party tonight, open bar. What's the acceptable amount of drinking in that situation?
Yeah, that's a terrific question. It really depends on how well you can hold your liquor, you know? Like, you don't strike me as someone that can have that many and still be able to handle a good conversation with your boss.
That's fair.
I'm thinking for you, maybe one or two, like, Coors Lights.
Okay.
but on the other hand, Adam's a rock star. You know, I've seen Adam at work. I've seen both of you guys at work, but I've seen Adam with all the ladies hitting on him. Like, I've seen the whole deal.
Oh, you said you did see Alex. You saw a waitress get a number from a waitress, right?
That's right. Did I say Adam? I meant Alex.
You're good.
Alex,
you're good. We knew what
Cody
you meant.
Cody and Alex. Sorry, yeah. Alex.
You're good, man.
I don't know why I said Adam there. It's no big deal. I only do like 20 of these a day.
Right.
So I've seen Alex work, and Alex, like, he's got the hair. He's well dressed. I think Alex can put down 5 to 7 IPAs or,
wow,
like, vodka tonics and still totally be able to handle himself. So I also don't know how secure you guys are in your jobs. I don't know your boss. There's a lot of factors that go into it. I don't know who all is going to be at the Christmas party. I don't know, like, are there going to be sponsors there?
Nope, just
on the one hand, on the one hand, you don't want to embarrass yourself in front of sponsors. On the other hand, if you drink a healthy amount, I'll say, with sponsors, that could lock those guys up for years to come. You know, if you guys go out with them after the party, you go to, like, an after party with them, you could really, like, they could be your boys and loyal sponsors for years. There's all kinds of factors in play, but really it's self-scouting is the most important. You got to know who you are, what you can handle. I've been in those situations. I've had situations where I had to tell somebody, listen, man, like, I really think you should leave. I think this is going to turn out poorly for you. You know, it's usually like the 25-year-old that's so excited about the open bar that they go and they're drinking. Wait, it's like, hey, listen, man, like, you could do something in the next hour that gets you fired. How about just going home and calling it a night?
I think on this show, that's more likely to be Cody, actually.
Right, come on.
I think that's...
I can handle myself.
Yeah, I think that might be you. That's good advice from Ross, though, I think. Yeah. Ross, appreciate it, man. Happy holidays. We'll check in a couple weeks.
Sounds great. Great talking with you guys. See ya.
There you go. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. Every Wednesday on the show, Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Know your game is actually really, I think that's kind of maybe the most important thing. No one's saying you have to have one or you can't have six. They're saying, what are you at those numbers? Know your game, know your comfort, know the company, know who you're around. There's a lot of factors in this.
So based on what you said, I need to have like a sip and then I'm done.
No, well, I mean, here's
according
the thing.
According to what you think,
I said you're a lightweight, but I didn't say that you're not a friendly lightweight. Like, I don't know how you act when you're, just as long as you're not making a fool of yourself, I think you're okay. I've only made a fool of myself drunk in front of mixed company on this station once, and that was in front of Roxanne at that concert.
I've been drunk, like drunk, maybe like 3 or 4 times in my life, and I apparently I'm a very good person. I'm a very happy person. Yeah. I'm chill and I'm laid back.
Three times in your
I'm
life.
Not an angry person. Now, my brother, on the other hand, my brother
one time before that Wisconsin game, though, you were still feeling it.
People on the text line.
That's because I got food poisoning as well. That was tough.
People on the text line are saying, said, Rob Tucker is the best.
He's called you Alex every time. He's done this a million times in a row.
He does do like 20 hits at other stations. There is, someone says Adam Gold. There actually is a radio show. I think it's in Raleigh, North Carolina, where their show, it's whatever and Gold, and the host is named Adam Gold.
Adam
so
Gold?
I don't know if he does a show.
Wait, yeah. There's a different show with Adam Gold.
Huh? Mm-hmm. So it happens. You're related? We've met Ross multiple times in person. We've had dinner with him before. We've seen him at Super Bowl events and stuff before. So no, he just a slip of the tongue.
Hmm. Yeah, the Adam Gold show. That's a real person.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm sure there's a lot of Adam Golds out there.
Host Middays.
Yeah.
A 99.9, the Fan in Raleigh, North Carolina.
I mean, Adam Gold, too, he's been doing, his Twitter handle's like Gold Show or something like that. I know exactly who it is. That might be what
you guys met or something?
Had him on the show, because in Boise, we thought it was funny at the time. The show in Boise I did was called, very unique, The Drive with Joey and Gold, and their show was Gold, and it was like Joey and Gold as well, but in another city, and so it was funny, and we had him on. We basically had each other on the show, but whatever. Nobody cares about that. But yeah,
I explained something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just curious. That's fine. Everybody makes mistakes when they speak.
I still think at the station, who's most likely to? Nobody's going to make a fool of themselves. But who's most likely to make a fool of themselves?
We've been at a lot of station events.
I don't know.
Oh, you think there's an obvious answer? There's a name that came to mind clearly, Drew.
Power rank them.
Yeah, there's a name that automatically popped in your head clearly right there.
I gotta stay out of this.
Who is it? Cody can't get in a spat with another host of the station. It already happened this week.
Cody. Take a guess.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, he can't. Actually, you know what? You should say it because you're already arguing with the person you might be thinking of.
He wants to say Dusty.
He does. He does.
He wants to say Dusty Likens. I have nothing to do with this.
We know Dusty. Shout out to Dusty. We know Dusty's personality is great. A couple drinks.
He's great.
A couple drinks.
You think he might say something he shouldn't?
Not necessarily that. It's just that he's going to. Dusty. A loose Dusty. I'm not saying it's dangerous, but a loose Dusty is, yeah. I think you guys are both thinking the same thing.
If it's the whole build, that's tough. I've been to like five station events with Dusty versus like
you guys are on record saying Dusty before. I know you guys have said Dusty before.
Maybe at the wedding. That might have been our answer for the wedding.
Exactly. That was the wedding.
I don't remember now. I was high on everyone's list too. We'll see.
Jeez.
Me and you, Dusty. Let's get after it tonight, you know?
Let's talk. So now you're challenging other people now.
I challenged. I was inviting him to hang out and drink together. That's all.
It's a company party. I'm going to have like two drinks and that's it. Let's be real. That's what's happening tonight. That's going to be a very casual company.
Gold's always the least likely. He's very careful in full company standing.
Yeah, but I'm also driving home.
That's a very real thing.
We're going to have two drinks and then we'll call it a night. Anyway, let's talk more about Mahomes because we asked Ross Tucker about Patrick Mahomes and he thought the practice participation was kind of interesting. And I think a lot of people were surprised, honestly, when they saw the practice report come out and find out full participant, like, okay, good to go. We also, of course, heard from Mahomes yesterday and he sounded very confident in playing on Saturday. It turns out it was a very light practice. There was the photo from the Kansas City Star that was circulating where Mahomes was clearly grimacing, just kind of stretching. And so he's playing through pain or practicing through pain, and he's going to have to play through pain if he plays on Saturday. I think that's pretty evident. Today's practice, if they ramp it up more and he's suddenly limited, don't be alarmed. It just kind of makes sense. I honestly thought he was going to be limited in any practice this week.
I did not expect him to be a full participant. Like, I just don't, you know, like, I don't know, and that is nuts that he was even out there. Now, look, they called it pretty light. So calling him a full participant might just mean he needed to physically be on the field for a verbal walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, like, full participant, relative in this standing. But I think the same thing applies to what I just said. I don't think Mahomes wants to give up first-team reps. Because then Andy won't be tempted to start Wentz. And I know that that's like deep conspiracy theory. And Patrick's like, oh, I trust Wentz. And Andy's like, oh, of course we trust Wentz. He knows that if he concedes a certain number of first team reps, Andy will then be tempted to put somebody else in. If he just practices all week, takes the reps, then there's no getting Carson Wentz ready. He's going to play. I guess the only question I would have is the obvious, which is, are you at risk of making this thing more irritated by making him be out there for the full time versus just treating it and letting him play?
It sounds like yesterday was almost like a walkthrough type of light practice. So I agree with you, but they also need to test it early enough in the week and find out where it's at. Like, is he able? He was clearly able to go through a light practice. If it was even worse, then we would have been seeing he was limited at that practice, which would have been, I guess, more alarming. So we'll see. Today is more of a test. Like later on this afternoon, we find out, did he truly make it through practice fully? Then he flat out said that this ankle injury is not as bad as the one he had post Jacksonville game.
And he was pretty hindered in that next game. Like he looked pretty rough moving around, but it's always the same thing. Like, the second that time called for it, right? The second he had to, like, run, he could still move. Like, and I don't know if there's any truth to what he's saying about Alec Ingold, where he's just like...
Or John Ritchie, sorry.
Where he's just like, I don't know, man. The more I had him, the easier it was to come back from him. Maybe it's just like a pain tolerance. Like, you know the feeling of it. You know how you move with it. This is like his sixth ankle injury. And I don't think it's an accident that he's played in every single game outside of that. Was I a little surprised to see full participant yesterday? Maybe a little, less so after we listened to him talk, in which the second they put him at the podium and he started talking about it, I'm like, does that sound like a player who's missing Saturday's game to anybody?
No, you listen to, I mean, we can play the cut again. I mean, you listen to what Patrick Mahomes said multiple times throughout his media availability. It's hard to believe he's not finding a way to go out there and play in the football game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you have to. That's the reason you play this game, is to push to play. So I'll get to work in practice and try to push it to see where I can get to. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to put our team in a bad position. So if I feel like I can play and go out there and win a football game, I'll play. And if I don't feel like that's the best case scenario, I'll let guys like Carson play. I mean, he's a guy that's won in this league as well. So it's just about pushing it this week, seeing where I'm at, and making the best decision then.
And today's probably the if it's a full practice, a true full practice, then maybe they push it. But it sounds as if because of the amount of games in a short period of time, all these practices are going to be lighter than normal practices. So it's
they're protecting themselves for the next 11 days. That's what still makes the decision to pass on 4th and 3 make no sense.
Coming up next, though,
protect them now, but what about then?
We'll take a look at the rest of the NFL. There's a lot of teams that could clinch this weekend and could be a nightmare scenario for the NFL when it comes to that. We'll also have a wild trash of the day that takes us to Lawrence next.